to hearing your word, truth and love and mercy for our time in our day. Amen. Please be seated. Today I'm going to kind of flip-flop the sermon, and I'm going to start with a broader introduction than usual. But I promise I'm going to get into the gospel as it was read. Matthew's writing 50, give or take, years after the resurrection. The world has changed a great deal since Jesus and the disciples walked. Disciples of the time of the writing of the gospel would not recognize what has happened to the church. Some of those we read about in Paul's letters. Jerusalem, the heart of the early church, is empty of Christians because Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple, also a gathering place for early Christians as well as Jews, has been leveled. And so now, Christians are spread far and wide, and the church has begun to evolve to fit the different cultures. Christian centers, large ones, are found in Palestine, Syria. Centers that were previously in Israel are now found in southern Turkey, western Turkey, North Africa, Greece, Rome, and Spain. By the year 80, the church has spread far and wide. And what that means is the church, the followers of Jesus, are living in some very different cultures. Very different from the culture that gave birth to the church. So we know there is a wide variety of worship, of liturgy, of styles, of mission, of personal experiences that are shaping the church. In some areas, there were not as many persecutions. In other areas, there were many, and suffering was the order of the day. So, for the gospel writers, and especially for Matthew and Luke and John, this new world means that the story of Jesus has to be told in a way that will proclaim the message of Jesus as the center of gravity, as the core, the Jesus story that is alive and that can enter in and become very near to those of different cultures. This is not a story that has one version only, the way we read it. This is a story that breathes into the world, the followers of Jesus, in all kinds of different ways. This story is unpredictable. It is a story that transforms human beings and We learn it is a story that powerfully enters into a given society. This is important to realize. Not every area will be hearing the same aspects of the story. They will hear the basics, but when they pull it inside their lives, something very different happens. This is the world of empire. It is a world of gladiators, murder for sport. It is a world of rules regarding respect and worship for the emperor. It is a world riddled by a caste system that is rigid. And into this world comes good news. The good news today of Matthew must confront the powers of earthly kingdoms and offer the possibility of an alternative. That's what the early Christians needed to hear. There is another way. There is an alternative to war. For 300 years, the Christians were pacifists. There is an alternative to violence as the way to settle disputes. There is a way of living and acting that leads to deeper justice, deeper love, and deeper caring for others. This way is powered by love that originates in God. It comes from somewhere else. Everybody understands there were many words for love, but the one that is used for the love of God is unique. This love, this life in the community comes from outside. It is not natural. It is not happiness. Often in the West, we associate God's love with being happy or God's love with being successful. That is unknown in many other parts of our world. This love opens the door to an everlasting hope. The Savior is risen indeed. Those who live in His love are alive. Those who live in His love know that Jesus is also alive. And so this feeds them and feeds their faith and gives depth and joy to their worship. They themselves, these individual Christian communities, are proof of the gospel. More so than words, more so than an isolated miracle, more so than one event, the community itself is the proof of Jesus' resurrection. One critical need of early Christians was to learn how to live into that love. That's why Paul, in his epistles, is constantly referring to active, creative, life-giving love. Love, God's love, can overcome division. It can heal broken relationships. It can resolve painful differences of opinion. is present in their here and now, and nothing can separate them from Jesus. And that includes Jesus, the victim on the cross, the suffering of Jesus, and the victory of Jesus in the resurrection. So Matthew understands that the good news must create a way of reconciling, rebuilding, restoring Christian communities who are full of division and pain. Love one another sounds great, but the question is really how? Matthew desperately wants to lay out a path. Some of you remember that John Lewis, the civil rights hero who died recently, preached what he called good trouble. Get into trouble in the name of God. Make sure that trouble is good trouble. It's all about the how. It's all about what we do. First, we need to notice a couple things that are missing. In the early church, there was no formula for confession or absolution. They would be totally flabbergasted by what we do in our liturgy and the fact that the confession takes a minute and 10 seconds and that the absolution takes 3 seconds, maybe 5. They would not understand what we're doing. This is a different time. Confession and rebirthing of the faith through forgiveness is not packaged like we package it. Not that I have anything against the liturgy, but for 2,000 years, the church has struggled with this. To make it more personal in history, some said you sit in a dark box in privacy. One person alone hears your sins. One person alone forgives you. And then we have post-genocidal cultures like Rwanda, where I lived. Forgiveness comes through truth-telling. And it must be in the community where the slaughters occurred. That was designed by Bishop Tutu in South Africa. And it would occur every single week. Out among the trees, the perpetrator of the violence would stand and he would tell exactly what he did. And the listeners, including the neighbors, one woman, he killed 27 of her family and relatives. And if he cannot speak the truth, they cut him off and they say, go away. Sometimes it took 10 years for the truth to come out and for one elderly lady to finally speak to his neighbor. For 10 years, he couldn't say it. But what did he do? He harvested her fields. He got her food. But he could not speak to her until she forgave him. It's an amazing story. She did forgive him. And they started meeting every morning on a bench outside. And they would talk. Group dynamic is a part of forgiveness. And as soon as you say group dynamic, you know it has to be complicated. We know it has to be steps. It's not rote. It is a process. For Matthew today, it is a process. a process learning to speak honestly. Just like the process of learning to walk, ride a bicycle, raise a baby into the world, this takes time. Also, part of what Mark is interested in is not just saying what was wrong, but probing the why of it. The why of the hurtful action, being open to seeing the why through new eyes. If you have raised a teenager, you know what it's like to have to reorient your mind sometimes every 10 minutes and ask the question, why? The word that encapsulates all of this is reconciliation. When it comes to repairing brokenness, to the healing of sin and fear and anger and revenge, this is a true saying. It takes a village. It is never an individual thing. There are no individual things in the ancient world and in most of Africa today. They don't realize how we boil everything down to me, I. How do we get beyond the divisions, the narrow-minded opinions? Here's a process. Try this, says Matthew. Someone hurt me. What should I do? Well, it's a process. It's going to take time. Are you really invested in the journey, or do you just want to be vindicated? You better want the journey, because that's what you're going to hear. Step one. Go and seek the person out, and in private, use your words, listen, tell the truth, make yourself vulnerable, one-on-one. And if there's no result, bring a witness. Not a witness that's going to scold, but there is a witness that creates a balance in the equation. We need others to balance what we are doing and hearing and saying. So, with the help of a witness, there will be new questions. There'll be clarifications of what was said. And perhaps even a resolution. But if not, bring two witnesses. So, you and two other witnesses. Here the message is not the math. We shouldn't be doing the math. But we should be shocked that Matthew is saying, try again. Try again. And yes, try again. Don't give up. It's amazing in American culture how we tend to be so impatient. I'm not talking to that person anymore. I'm tired of this. I'm leaving this church. Don't give up. Keep at it. The final step is to enter into the Christian community itself, where everyone shares the burden of the pain, where everyone listens, where everyone offers help. Everyone weighs in, not intellectually, but with their heart, because they embrace with their arms the whole community. The final place, yes, it takes a village. The final place for reconciliation is that very village. My takeaway today is this. The body of Christ is a community, and within that community, as Paul tells us, there are many spiritual gifts. We're not without strategies or means. There are many spiritual gifts available to us, and there are a variety of insights. Not of hierarchy, where only some people have insights, but around the circling, embraced community. It is this village, this community that will surround the conflict, that will trust the process, that will be determined to discover a way where there seemed to be no way. It seemed to be a dead end. Knowing God is not in isolation in the gospel. Knowing God is experiencing the creative new beginnings within a community where the Holy Spirit dwells. And this is hard work. The work of love and tolerance and trust must be learned. And we must show the world that our Jesus is not weak or limited or has very few resources. We must show the world that all is possible. It's exhausting when you think of it, to become the light of the world. I can be a light for 15 minutes, if I'm lucky. But to become the light of the world, it is exhausting to keep hoping for what we can't see. We need to breathe and lean on the Holy Spirit. We need to lean on each other, and yes, we do need to take up our cross. When we do that, and when we walk together, we are never alone. Never. This is the promise of Jesus. Two or three of you, okay, it's time. Time to reconcile. Time to talk. The Lord is our shepherd. Our cup is running over. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. All of us, the beloved community, the body of Christ. Amen.